This week on The Droids, Chapter 22 of The Mandalorian, The Guns for Hire, and news from Star Wars Celebration. We have our first initial reactions to the news of the new movies, new series, everything that's coming out of Star Wars Celebration. All that and more on The Droids.
These are the droids you're looking for. These are the droids.
I'm no one.
It's always a bigger fish.
Hello there.
Rebellions built on hope.
Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Chris, I think we both kind of struggled through our little bit of power up there at the beginning. I don't know if that was our best.
I'm out of breath from just my mouth being agape from the Star Wars Celebration news. I think I am winded from exhausted. They just roll in trailers over us. Like it's nobody's business.
And they're like, hey, are you waking up bright and early? We've got trailers for you. We're dropping news at you.
Really no time. I mean, the panels are done already, too. So they're just like throwing them out there. I feel like having it in the UK is a real treat for us East West Coasters.
Us in the U.S. time zone.
Yes. That's sort of the word I was looking for.
You know, it's funny. You think of a Friday news dump is always a thing that people talk about. This was a Friday, like, glut of joy because they just gave us so much to be excited about. Yeah. And they dropped it all because they know they're going into a holiday weekend. And even though the Star Wars Celebration's all weekend long, they're like, let's get all the news out right away.
Let's get it fast. Yeah.
So we are going to take some more time. There'll be an extended conversation about Star Wars Celebration and all the news from Celebration coming up early next week. The droids are all excited on the text chain. We're trying to figure out when we're going to record that episode. This is Chris and I reacting to Chapter 22 of The Mandalorian Guns for Hire, but we're going to take, I don't know, what, 5 minutes here, Chris, just to have some first unfiltered, unadulterated content and reactions to what happened with Star Wars Celebration news. Chris, I think you are the best one to walk us through what they just shared.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I happened to kind of crept up on me. And I think it's always good to remind the audience right now, too, that we are a Star Wars Celebration rejected podcast.
Yes.
maybe one of these years we'll get there, but it's okay.
We stick to it. It's one of those lifelong goals that you have.
We're kind of tracking with the Mando, right? We haven't been accepted yet, but soon we'll go bathe in the waters and we'll come back.
I have a mental image of all of us standing in some pool somewhere with shirts off, being like, please, Celebration, please.
And they're like, not yet. they started off strong with the Ahsoka trailer. I'm super excited for it. Again, Star Wars in Star Wars fashion reveals enough that you're asking questions, but not enough that it answers questions. It looks fantastic. It looks kind of an extension of the Rebels and Clone Wars universe. Super excited for that. Great to see the Rebels gang in live action form kind of. We don't have to guess anything. We've seen most of them. We'll probably deep dive into this on Monday, but when we record next.
Chris, who's that heir of the Empire? I mean, we're going to talk about that on Monday, but who's the heir of the Empire? Well, boy,
exactly.
I think we know, but
what's going on there? And they're really just giving it to us all. And I think there's going to be some fun aspects to the show as a storytelling mechanic that I really think could change kind of the whole shape of these Star Wars series. So I'm very excited for that. And then I haven't seen it yet, but they've gone into The Acolyte. I've heard some interviews with the actors right now. Star Wars Acolyte, which is kind of going to focus in that High Republic era about the dark side. And kind of they're coming to power. And so far, so good. I mean, the cast seems delightful. Everyone's excited about it. Mm-hmm. Seems like it's coming from such a nice place.
Jonas Suetomo is back, my man.
And he's back, baby. It's great. It's great to hear him. I saw him on stage doing some Wookiee sounds. So,
I think he's a Wookiee Jedi in Acolyte. He's not playing Chewbacca. He's just a Wookiee Jedi.
It's fantastic. It's encouraging me to go finish up these books. I think that we're in for some real treats in this kind of, I'll call it like the next class, the new school of Star Wars here coming out. And this celebration kind of got me by surprise. And I know not Star Wars related, but they also just dropped the Indiana Jones 5 trailer. And I'll tell you what, really pulls at the heartstrings there. And I'm gonna make a bold prediction.
Here it
Indiana
is.
Jones could be the it's gonna be the Top Gun of 2023. I think it's gonna crush in the box office. I could be famously wrong for this, but I think it's gonna be a fantastic experience.
Chris, I love that prediction. I'm right there with you. I got out there on Twitter right away and tweeted out, say it's not the summer of Oppenheimer. It's not the summer of Barbie. It's the summer of Indy. That's what the summer that we have coming up.
Back, baby.
We're going for at least $1 billion box office.
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
I hope so. I think, you know,
we
the only
just title that up the episode that $1 billion box office
billion
question
dollar
mark
box office. That's a good call. I think maybe we should just do that. Why not put it in there? But you know, the only thing holding it back in the difference between Top Gun and Indy is that there has been an Indy more recently, and people have potentially soured a bit after Crystal Skull, even though that was what 17 years ago. No,
yeah.
Not 17. More like. More like 14,
2000,
something like that.
Yeah, a while back. But yeah, no, you're right. I think it kind of building into it. But yeah, you're right. I we have had some time to kind of sit with the originals. There's been re-releases and stuff. So I think they've done a good job kind of restoking the spirit. But of course, we'll see. I mean, we'll be seeing it in theaters many times. And
well, we will. And I think it's being a little bit under-noticed right now in the movie conversation for this summer. That's why I bring up, there's so much excitement about some movies for Guardians 3, mentioned Oppenheimer and Barbie, but I don't feel like Indy's getting that kind of attention, and it should, because James Mangold is one of the most competent, well-respected filmmakers we have right
and,
now.
And on that angle, they have announced...
Transition. I love it.
Yeah. Three new directors for Star Wars, and one of them being James Mangold, one being the Miss Marvel director, Obaid Shinoy, and Dave Filoni.
Who's that?
Just a little man. Oh, okay. I mean, this is his weekend.
He's a guy in a cowboy hat. What's he doing directing Star Wars?
Obviously, we have to take... a three movie announcement with a bowl of salt, because historically
nothing has turned out.
It almost seems like the news is like, this is almost like the professional fan fiction of Star Wars, where they'll just like release movies with directors. It's kind of like the What If of Star Wars. No mention of Taika's movie.
No mention at all of Taika's movie. That's weird.
So we're we'll see what happens. And then the kind of a mention of Anthony Carboni, host of most of Star Wars socially, media wise and glad to see him out and about and really bringing the energy as he always does. Mentioned that Skeleton Crew also on the horizon with an Anne Boleyn type experience, he said. So I'm sure he's privy to some information. Don't know if he gave away too much there, but it should be a lot of fun.
Chris, that's, I mean, fantastic just to see all of that coming about. More Star Wars movies on the horizon. I agree with you. I was thinking for a second, I was like, oh, you know, most of those other announcements, it's not like we had a Kevin Feige stage moment or we had Patty Jenkins. Oh, wait, we did have a Patty Jenkins like whole video. They made a professional video.
Yeah, we had a
video.
Top Gun.
Yeah, Top Gun thing. So they have done this before. I think a whole bowl of salt is the right way to say it, Chris.
Yeah. So I mean, Filoni's making stuff regardless, so that's good.
Well,
but.
That's the whole thing about, even though Chris, you've watched much more than I have, but from my knowledge of just like reading some of what's been out of Celebration, Filoni's movie is going to bring together Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka into a movie. So
there you go.
All of those stories are going to come together. Now, do I want Book of Boba Fett to be brought together? I don't know. Way Mandalorian season 3 is going, does it really need to culminate in a movie? Doesn't necessarily feel like
I
it,
mean,
but
maybe it has to.
But it's... I'm very excited. I'm glad that Dave Filoni is getting a movie. I'm glad that we have the Ahsoka series coming so soon, because the Ahsoka series is going to be a great precursor to whatever movie that will be. And I think, you know, there's been a level of, we've talked about it previously on the podcast, being down a bit about the way The Mandalorian's going, but I think they're going to treat movies a bit differently given the timeline. I feel like the Ahsoka series, I think, is going to bring me back to the fold a bit.
Yeah.
Because even though Andor is set the mold and set what we feel like has been what Star Wars can be, you know, Mandalorian seems to be wading into uncertain waters and just really meandering without knowing what it's doing. And I think Ahsoka has a purpose. I mean, Thrawn is in the trailer. Do we know who's playing Thrawn? No, but Thrawn's in the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also, I mean, they even have a little connective tissue with Andor in that trailer. So
oh, Mon Mothma, I know, I loved it.
If that's a sign, I mean, that's fantastic.
Oh, it's Genevieve O'Reilly, right?
I believe that is her name.
I mean, because I for a second I was like, is it Gwendolyn? Is it Genevieve? Yes, it's Genevieve O'Reilly. She is, more of her, please. We've talked about it before. I could just watch Mon Mothma, the series. But between Mangold, the story he's doing is, and we'll get more into this. I don't want to give everything away. And plus, we're going to get more information. But Mangold is doing the rise of the Jedi, or like the introduction of the Jedi, well before everything. So almost like the first touch point of the Jedi. Crazy. And
fantastic.
Then Dave Filoni's
room for a lot of cameos.
Dave Filoni's doing that story where we mentioned it's going to connect everything that's been ongoing in the series. And then Ms. Marvel's director is going to be doing a story of the return of Rey Skywalker, which hit me deep.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I don't think
I got goosebumps.
Oh, I don't think Daisy Ridley has been given the chances that she deserves as an actress after Star Wars. I don't think that the story, as we've said many times, was resolved in a way that was appropriate for the character of Rey. So for her to 15 years later, at least in a timeline sense, not from the release of the movie, to be rebuilding the Jedi Order, is just, it gives a chance for them to do it right. And like, we'll get into more of it Monday, but I just am very happy that she's going to be back in Star Wars. It makes me thrilled.
It is good. I mean, it does, it definitely feels like a kind of a new era. And I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, almost 10 years since The Force Awakens. So, I mean, there is almost some nostalgia kicking in, right?
Yeah.
If you were a 10-year-old that saw Force Awakens.
Oh, wow.
You're going to be 20 years old, potentially, when this Rey movie comes out.
Wow, that's a unique experience. I mean, again, there's always, Star Wars is cyclical in a lot of ways, Chris, and you've always said it, but here it is. Once again, another generation of children getting to grow up and watch a new version of their stories.
Yeah, so think about that. There you go.
Chris,
I think that covers it much as I have it on in the background, too. So if you just hear long periods of bouts of silence, it's me. Wait a second. Anthony Daniels is on stage.
There he is. He's back. C-3PO, A Star Wars Story is happening.
Yeah, exactly. It's him or Palpatine. They're both mainstays on that stage.
I think Anthony Daniels was probably thrilled when they introduced in The Phantom Menace how C-3PO came to be and that he was built by Anakin. But now at this age, he's like, hey, there could be a streaming series for everything. If they wouldn't have told my whole story as being Anakin's droid, I would have a whole chance to do a whole different show.
That by design, George.
Yeah. Well, we will get to more of Celebration early next week. Certainly a lot of fun to think about where this all could go and what it all means for Star Wars. But, you know, let's get a little tip of the old Lothcat. We saw a Lothcat today in the Ahsoka.
Finally.
Did we also see Lothal? Was Sabine Wren on top of one of the towers of Lothal in that trailer?
That's what it looked like. That's what I thought.
I love Clone Wars, but Rebels definitely was a little stickier in my brain,
I have to say. Yeah, exactly. Well, I feel like it's kind of a condensed version of Rebel or of Clone Wars in some regards. Yeah. We gotta do a series on those soon, and maybe we will.
Chris, I'm around.
Right in.
I've got
let us know.
Plenty of time. You want me to just sit and we'll talk about it all? I'll do a podcast a day. Yeah. I don't need...
Oh, there we go. Episode a day. There's only about 400 episodes of Clone Wars. Yeah.
We can do it. Well, so Chris, let's dive into Chapter 22, Guns for Hire of The Mandalorian. Now, this...
Actors for Hire is what they... Should
have
called it.
Have you gone off to watch some Celebration?
Oh, did I lose you?
We lost you right in the middle there, Chris. I don't know. Are you still watching Celebration or are you there?
Hello.
Well, while Chris takes a break to watch Celebration, I think he's back. I think Chris is back. Chris,
hey,
Chris, are you there?
Yeah, what's...
The only thing that can explain a transmission interruption is...
Uh-oh, invasion.
What invasion are we going to experience here during this podcast?
It's either invasion or indigestion. I was saying this episode should be called Actors for Hire.
Because it got so many.
Yeah, a lot of cameos in this one.
Hey, I'm not upset that Christopher Lloyd's showing up anywhere.
I enjoyed all three thoroughly.
So I have to ask, though, were you as surprised? To me, Lizzo and Jack Black, amazing. Fun to have them there. Fun to have them interact with Grogu. That was not as big a surprise as Christopher Lloyd, because it feels like it's difficult to pry Christopher Lloyd out of not really doing... I mean, he's not doing movies or shows anymore. Like, I wonder what his last acting credit was.
That's the thing too. It was such a surprise. I mean, it was such a huge thing. It was a big surprise to also see like Lizzo in an acting role in Star Wars. Yeah. So I was very much like, wow. And Jack Black, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. He's great for Star Wars. Also, I just love seeing Jack Black. He's just a very charismatic fellow.
Always.
But then, so we get the 1-2 punch there. And then all of a sudden they give us the real, like, the next hit of basically Christopher Lloyd. Doc Watson is just hanging there.
Oh boy, Doc. Doc Brown. So you know, it was cool. It was cool to see that. I like the cameos. I like, you know, there's a lot in this that is interesting and then does matter for the long term plans of the show and the storytelling and what it means to Mandalore and obviously the ending and how we find out that, you know, not surprising, he was taken away from the Darksaber, picked up by Bo-Katan. Now Bo-Katan's the rightful leader. Hopefully they all join her. She defeated her rival, and what's his name? Axe Wolf, I think, something like that. So that was all interesting. But Chris, at parts of this, I was like, is this Law and Order Outer Rim?
Right. You know what it felt like? It felt a lot like kind of that tech demo they did for Star Wars Underworld a little bit. Was revealed a while
100%,
back. 100%. Like, it had those vibes in the city. It had, like, that kind of look and feel to it also, and good volume work of trying to make like real long city blocks and that kind of stuff, which I thought was pretty funny. They definitely, this was kind of like a one shot. It felt very much like an early Clone Wars episode, really.
Yep.
Where it's kind of like they're solving a mystery. It was fun to kind of see the battle droids and the super battle droids kind of flex a little bit. Honestly, they were really like animating them to like the point of cartoon levels, I thought, a little bit, which whatever, it's fun. I mean, this episode, I think, is if there's I know last week you guys talked about how this is primarily for younger kids and things like that. I think if on the scope of things, this episode I felt was very like more kid friendly than usual. And I think it's kind of one for them, I think, a little in some regards, like. They're not interested in this kind of legacy story of Mandos and sacrifice and all that stuff. Totally fine. Here's a little mystery. Here's them in action. Here's all their tools or tricks, what they can do.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, it kind of ends with Bo-Katan taking the katan, the Darksaber, and really reclaiming the throne. But it felt a little unceremoniously. I think
it felt a little bit, I don't know, it felt a little just unnatural. Not to say it didn't feel like it had quite the gravitas that maybe it needed to. It also felt a little rushed, a little quick to get there.
Well, they kind of just, what they did again with like Mando finding the water, they kind of just made it happen like immediately. But I did like the little logic riddle he threw out. And that kind of came back to it of if she defeated the person that defeated me, then she, by transitive property, has defeated me. So
I've always learned as a big, you know, college football fan, that transitive property, if your team is beating the other team and they beat the team that beat you, you're better than them.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you pick the Super Bowl winners. So Star was teaching us a little math there, which is great. Other than just getting over the shock of, like you said, seeing Christopher Lloyd just appear out of nowhere. Like, what was his last acting role?
So
probably like
he's
Back to the Future, like,
actually, you're right,
side like promo or something, or a voice or something.
I just looked him up because he has been doing some other things recently, but nothing that has been something called Self-Reliance. He was in a documentary called Back to the Future, he was in something where he did the voice of Doc Brown.
Yeah,
he was in something called Spirit Halloween, which I guess is connected to those shops that just pop up everywhere. I don't know.
Interesting.
But yeah, he's done some random things. Episode of The Conners.
I feel like he's been on some sitcoms and stuff. I've seen him pop up.
Yeah, and then like some Rick and Morty jokes. But you know, he's shown up in places.
Hey, if you're gonna pack in some cameos in an episode, and again, I think a very cool sci-fi conceptual world here of we live in a utopia, but it's built on these battle droids and kind of like, okay, well, here's the thread you weave, if that's the case.
Yeah, and I think that's cool, and I liked, as we saw, look, I will go and live.
Can I take a call real quick?
Oh, yes, please.
Sorry.
Are we taking a call on the pod? All right. Like, we've got a call.
No,
call.
I can't be on the pod.
Well,
but
Chris, while you take a call, I will talk about my thought of this episode. So I did enjoy the Resistor, which is the droid cantina. And that was a nice little moment, even though it felt very, you know, interrogation procedural style. Let's use good cop, bad cop with good Mando, bad Mando. And we had a nice little back and forth with the droids at the cantina. I think the thing I enjoyed just was all the different variety of droids that we saw. We saw a variety of Rexes from back in Star Tours, obviously some protocol droids, and I think a few other varieties that I'm just forgetting. I could go back and look through it, but really impressed with just all that droid work within that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to see basically everyone come back in that respect. And just, I mean... I feel like every version of Star Wars has kind of teased this idea of we don't serve their kind. Yeah. The droids don't have rights because they were all in these wars. They were made to be weapons. And I think it's funny to see this kind of side of the universe. And one of those aspects of Star Wars that I think is kind of like a retro future type thing from the 70s, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, imagine robots in the future. What would they be doing? They're so smart. They have their own bar.
Yeah.
They drink nano oil. Which I thought was cool.
I liked it.
When Star Wars does that.
And it was great. Like, oh, we don't serve your kind in here. It's a nice transition from back in, you know, earlier of obviously what we know from A New Hope and not serving droids and having to send the droids away. So, you know, us as the droids pod, this is something that is going to become part of our lore, right? It's like, this is what we do now, Chris, as we go to Resistor at the end of the pod.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Resistor, great name. A little on the nose, but hey, again, I think this episode was for the younger audience, a little weird, let's get to it, Amanda. What are we doing?
Yeah, so that's what I want to talk to you about, Chris, because we've talked before about, hey, there's this show trying to have it both ways, and it wants to be moving a story forward about the Mandalorians and about the rebuilding of Mandalore, starting a new civilization of Mandalorians, and then it also wants to be Case of the Week. And this was Case of the Week. And, you know, I'm like, the way they set out Mandalorian to begin with, if it was Case of the Week, I'd be more satisfied than trying to shoehorn in this other story as well, because what is this other than a story about Mandalore and Bo-Katan versus Mandalorian or Din and Grogu? And it's a little bit of a bait and switch. And all I thought was, we're building all of these spinoff series. Why couldn't we have just done the Bo-Katan Mandalorian series separate from Mandalorian Din Djarin and Grogu? And I guess it's because they're like, oh, we've already built the whole Mandalorian thing tied to this one.
Yeah.
So we have to do it this way. But like most of this episode and most of this season, for that matter, Grogu has just been literally a puppet, obviously, but also just like a side piece to be have fun and look cute versus having any story involvement at all. This is not a story that is focused on Grogu and Din, their relationship, and everything that the finale of season two, which I had my issues with, but their emotional separation at the end of season two, that's just like, well, we're all back together, so there's no emotion anymore, and nothing's trying to take Grogu away anymore. I mean, obviously, the cloning thing could allude to another chance of somebody trying to steal Grogu to get after his blood, but at the moment, it's like the whole crux of what drove everybody crazy about this show, especially the non-Star Wars fans, has taken a dramatic backseat to what was previous story been told in other series that is now being continued onward, which is fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But maybe just do it in a spinoff.
Yeah. I mean, even that, or just like a one shot or something, because it almost, and just, I don't want to use the term, but it's a lot of the Mandalorian stuff, kind of stuff that's happening in real time, is almost generic to a certain degree. Like it doesn't feel like it has kind of the weight or the depth to it that you'd hope. So I agree, like we've kind of strayed so far away from Grogu, his purpose, his mission, what is he, why is he what is the goal here? And I think Star Wars works best, or storytelling in general, works best when there is a defined pathway that we're all kind of working towards. And then it's the twists and turns along that way that is the story. The beginning and ending is easy.
Yeah. It's weird, and it's a little deflating, and it's a little bit like, again, I kind of, if we've mentioned it several times, I can't help it. I just think that if we didn't have Andor, I'd be really sort of negative even about the Star Wars Celebration announcements, because I'm like, if the team that is putting together this show that is all over the place and not consistent in its story is about to now bring some more movies to the table, and even, you know, what we expect from Ahsoka, I'm optimistic that Ahsoka is going to be better because it's Dave Filoni's baby. It seems like
a unit, like a solidified vision.
Yep.
And I also, and I could be wrong on this, but it also seems like the story of that direction has been established in his mind canon or physically in a script. Like, it seems like there's a goal.
Yeah.
Like, you don't end Rebels the way you do.
Yeah.
Unless you have a theory of how, of where it goes.
Exactly. And we know that he's been working on this story for so long, that he may have thought that he was going to continue that story in an animated show, and it just happened that now he's continuing it in live action. I do want to say, we've seen in the trailer, I really would like to see a little bit less stoicism from Ahsoka. I mean, I love Rosario Dawson, but like, where is a little bit more of that Ahsoka attitude that we saw from the Clone Wars? But we'll get there. It's early days. Yeah. She's only been in two episodes of of live action so far.
I feel like the clips and scenes we've seen her so far in Mandalorian and in Boba Fett, she's like had to been quote unquote on.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see some downtime, and likewise with Mando too. It's kind of like, I feel like that's another element that's kind of going on here, is that we're seeing the Mandalorians, they're all kind of on. Mm-hmm. The interesting part about them is that they're kind of conflicted with this lifestyle now that they're kind of fully committed. It's just it gets a little generic sometimes, where it's or predictable. And,
well, that's to me part of the problem of, and look, we don't know for sure. Every episode's written by Jon Favreau. It does not seem like there's a full writer's room. I talked about that with Ryan in our last podcast.
Right.
If there were a full writer's room, it feels like there'd be a little bit more. But it seems like they, despite having a longer period of time to have Mando come out, which if they would have just skipped the book of Boba Fett and put all their efforts into making season three of Mandalorian great, you know, and just didn't put their time into book of Boba Fett, I think we would have had a better series. But it does seem like they sort of rushed to get this out.
Someone had to film Last of Us, so
he only needs 1 week of voiceover work, so they can bring him in whenever they want.
It's not
too much of a challenge. But yeah, Chris, I mean, and also, look, I liked Lizzo being in this episode. I thought it was fun to have Jack Black, but it feels like someone just said, what's going to set the internet afire? Put Lizzo and Grogu in the same thing.
Grogu. It was a little fourth wall punching.
Yeah, like, just kind of like Ahmaud Best. I love Ahmaud Best, but it felt like you are reacting to what people are going to say versus whether or not this is for story.
A little self-aware.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, it's Jon Favreau kind of being, well, look at my friends.
look at the people that I can bring
in.
And
I think JJ is a little guilty of this too with Grunberg. it's kind of like, these people are my friends, are going to throw them in this thing. It's fine. It's okay. But yeah, I think it does take you out a little bit, because in no reality are you going to be like, that's not Jack Black and that's not Lizzo. They're too much of a force themselves to kind of step down to Star Wars. So
which again, it's kind of like, that's all right. It's okay to do that. It's fine to do that, because you can get past kind of the same thing with Ahmaud Best, where to me it's like, and again, love that they brought Ahmaud Best back.
Yeah.
I can move past the novelty of it, of the meta version of it, of breaking the fourth wall on it, if there's more story to it.
Yes.
And what it is lacking in true story. Now, again, maybe Kelleran Beck is coming back in the finale of this episode, of this season.
Yeah.
And that would make sense to me and make me applaud the choice
Maybe someone's going to need a droid army.
someone
you
might.
You never know.
And Jack Black and Lizzo are going to be ready to like turn it over. Like, well, we were about peace, but you've got a price tag that we can't ignore.
I did like kind of the early 90s fantasy feels that their little utopia was giving me, though. Mm-hmm. It felt very much like a scene from like Neverending Story or something. It's very like future medieval kind of thing, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. And I like the repurposed stormtrooper armor for their like officers.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just, I feel like we're treading water here. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're giving us all the news, but hoping that the, what is it, 8 or 10 episodes?
8. So we're close
we're
to
halfway there.
Yeah, we're close to done. No, I think we've got 2 episodes left.
Oh wow, is this 6?
Yeah, that was 6.
Oh my goodness, did I miss one? I mean, hopefully these last two are like a little mini movie that kind of set a story ablaze or just give us something that
I hope so.
Pin the fate of Mando on. Otherwise, yeah. I mean, if they kind of button it up, I don't really know what Mando's fate is going to be compared to all this the other news that's going on. So,
well, there could be that. I do. They've talked before that there's not an ending they have in mind for Mandalorian, but which is interesting now because if he's making that movie, they must have some sort of idea of what they want to do.
Yeah.
Either way, or like they've done a lot, they're like, hey, we need to say we said we're going to have 3 movies we're announcing. Let's trot out another one and we'll figure it out and then be like, oh, you know what, we decided not to make it.
I honestly have no idea at this point.
Well, Chris, looking back on some things that I also enjoyed about this episode, the Ugnaught scene Din being able to speak in the Ugnaught way, that was a nice, I like that. He's like, I have
very,
spoken.
Very cool. I had honestly forgot about their relationship,
about Queel,
because the show felt so small back then I thought the animation on those characters was fantastic.
Yep.
It looked really cool.
Yep.
They looked very endearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just the idea that you have to kind of be frank with them, but not insult them was very fun too.
Yeah. And then I like the beginning with the, I can't remember, and I should, this is terrible of me, because I've watched those episodes of the Clone Wars. Mon Calamari, and then who is the other squid creature? From the beginning.
Oh yeah, the
I can't remember the name of the two planets.
I can't remember there's Mon Calamari and what's the other one?
I don't remember.
I'll look it up.
But it's a nice little. I kind of liked the tank that then turns into a chair.
Is it Quarren?
Yeah, I think you're right. The Quarren. I think you're right.
Yeah, they share the home world. Yes.
And actually, I just saw a caption that says speaking Quarrenese.
There you go.
But so. I love that the tank can turn into like the helm captain chair.
Yeah, it's very cool detail. Yeah.
And then it felt very much like a Rebels or a Clone Wars moment, because obviously we've seen that in Clone Wars, but it was like the love of those two was sort of similar to what we saw in that whole thing. It felt a little bit overwrought, a little overly melodramatic.
Right.
But you know, that like you said, it kind of works for kids.
Yeah, and I also kind of appreciate the little anecdotes of world building that Bryce Dallas Howard was doing.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot that Bryce Dallas Howard was the one who directed this. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like she was kind of playing with the playground a little bit, and I think that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, are you on board with good cop, good Mando, bad Mando?
I don't even, it's like bad Mando, badder Mando or something.
I mean, it's like we're gonna do like between Law and Order and CSI, and we're gonna have the person in the chair who can break down the medical examination.
Hey.
I mean, what do you actually need to have a morgue for droids? Is that required?
It seems necessary. It seems like the I'd say the prequels is guilty of this sometimes too. A parallel to our society is sometimes just so overt that it seems like, wait a second, these droids got wheels. Why do they need escalators? Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like they don't need a morgue.
Yeah.
They're drinking oil. Like, okay.
All right. Well, and I did like the alluding to from the droid who was behind the bar. Hey, we live lifetimes. Your existence is a speck compared to what we have. I thought that was really interesting.
I thought that was very neat. And I thought we'd get, I mean, if this episode was for the cameos, where's a K2SO?
Where's an L3?
Where's an L3? Yeah, I thought maybe we could get something there. We did get a very cool, shiny blue C-3PO, which I thought was neat.
Yeah.
Pairing with a very sleek-looking R2 unit.
Absolutely. So, well, Chris,
I'd like those.
Yeah. I think we've covered pretty much that episode. We've talked about it. We're going to come back and talk about Celebration in much more in-depth next week. We're excited to talk about all that's coming.
Our minds aren't melted.
Sorry. Chris, anything else you want to say about Chapter 22, not Chapter 2022?
I'd say... this chapter's closed. Case closed, right?
Case closed.
It was fun. It was great. Let's get a little story.
Let's go
treat somewhere. Let's send us in a vector, right? Let's put the hyperdrive into a direction that we can move with.
The mention of a vector, High Republic style. Hmm?
There you go.
All right. Hey? Well, Chris, the only other thing, Moff Gideon's out there, and I think Moff Gideon's coming for the finale, and it feels like.
Well,
they could maybe land this thing well if, as you said, you kind of take two episodes to really focus in on, all right, Grogu's back in jeopardy. Gideon knows, we know why. There's a little bit more of a reveal there.
We got the clone guy cloning stuff with his mind's warp now. Yeah. Now she knows how to use the stuff, allegedly. And so we'll get there. Yeah. I hope so. And I just saw him on a panel, so I'm sure he's ready to jump back in.
Well, it should be fun to see how this concludes. Obviously, so much fun to talk about, despite maybe some misgivings we have of where they're at. But there's a lot of possibilities ahead. And, you know, we're driving towards Andor season two. It might be here sooner than we think. But Ahsoka is going to be in August. Acolyte early next year. Skeleton, what is it? Skeleton Bones? Skeleton Squad?
Crew. Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew is probably
Skeletons
next.
Do have bones, though, yes.
Skeleton, that's right. Skeleton Bones. Could be next year. Chris, there's a lot of Star Wars coming. And
it just never stops, does it?
It's nice that it doesn't stop. I'm thrilled that it doesn't stop. But I also am like, maybe you should stop if all you're going to give us is the little bit of wheel spinning out there in the galaxy. Yeah. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And we'll maybe be...
We're getting there.
We'll get a little bit of satisfying conclusion, hopefully. But, Chris, that is going to do it for this week's episode of The Droids. Always a pleasure. We will be back next week to talk more Mandalorian.
Annie?
Annie at Celebration?
Do you want some Nezpeth? Nezpath?
I think it was called
Nezpath oil.
Come on down to the resistor, and don't worry, this won't change your entire programming.
Special 2-for-1.
The tainted one is still available. It's half price.
It's good.
All right. That was great.